push the button.
This is the Michael J. Thorpe Show on Super Talk 1570.
Grab some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
And it's time now for a healthy moment brought to you by the Genesee Health Plan. The Genesee Health Plan is Genesee County's plan for better health. Its mission is to improve access to health care for low-income residents of Genesee County. And whether it's dental coverage, prescription help, or seeing a doctor when you're sick, the Genesee Health Plan is an answer. And Yvonne Lewis is back with us this morning from the Genesee Health Plan with a guest. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Michael.
You've brought along Dr. Mark Mattingly, who's a colon and rectal surgeon who's practiced here since 2002. Yes. Welcome, Dr. Mattingly.
Thank you.
Today, of course, our topic, surprisingly enough, is colorectal cancer. How perfect, since you're actually here anyway.
Yes.
You use advanced techniques in the practice, so you've been doing this for a long time.
Yes, I have.
It's colorectal and colon awareness month. Is that important when you're a physician?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's such a difficult problem in this country, primarily because people aren't screened to the level that we should be screening. And it's estimated out of the 56,000 deaths in the United States each year, around 40,000 of those could be prevented if people just did the routine screening that we're supposed to be doing. And when you're talking about the number two cancer killer in the United States, we're talking about a significant number of people and a significant number of lives that are affected.
Yeah, well, cancer affects a lot of people, but colon cancer is how common is it?
About one in 20 people, roughly 5% lifetime risk of developing colon cancer.
One in 20 people in the general population?
One in 20 people, and if you have a family history of colon cancer, that's going to increase to one in 10.
Wow. So could you look at somebody and say you might be affected, or is it just anybody? Are there certain traits or something that would tell me?
As we get older, your risk increases. You know, starting
for everything.
At the age, absolutely. And starting at the age of 50 is when we really start looking for screening, just for the sake of screening. If you have strong family history, particularly people who are younger, we start younger. If we know that you have certain genetic conditions or certain medical conditions, like chronic inflammatory conditions, ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease primarily, then we need to start screening more frequently and more often. But you know, the big thing about it is it's identifiable, it's preventable, treatable, and beatable, and it's just we have to make sure that we're doing that we're doing the screening examinations to save lives.
It's detectable, preventable, and beatable.
Yes,
that's things that we need to remember about this form of cancer. Is this form of colon cancer? Is this the most easily beat, if that's the way I want to put it?
It actually is fairly well. I mean, you have over 90% success rate in the early stages of colon cancer for treating it and curing it. And once you get to the more advanced stages, then that number significantly drops off. But then the stage one and stage twos combined, you have roughly a 90% survival rate at 5 years, which is when we're considered cured from a colon cancer.
Okay, well, and you talk about detecting it. That doesn't always mean a colonoscopy. Doesn't it start right when you're going to visit your physician with a digital investigation, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And top frequently, they will also check the stool for fecal occult blood, where there's blood that you're not even seeing, and that can be a trigger to do more advanced testing like a colonoscopy. There are a lot of different ways for evaluating for colon rectal cancer. The colonoscopy typically is the gold standard just because it's the most accurate test that we have.
So if you're going to see your doctor every year, that's a good running start.
Absolutely.
For that, right?
Absolutely.
Because he's looking for it.
Absolutely.
And what is it he's going to see? I mean, you said blood in the stool. I get that.
Blood in the stool. He's also going to basically be looking at any symptom you may have to identify potential risk. They're also going to look at your family history, your personal history, to determine what the appropriate screening protocol should be.
So what are some of the symptoms?
Well, the most common one is no symptom, unfortunately, which is why it's a silent killer. The most common visible sign that you can see is blood in the stool. But in more advanced cases, you know, change in bowel habits, narrowing of stool. Obviously, the blood in the stool should get everyone's attention, and it's not always related to a colon and rectal cancer, but it's something that should always be investigated. Change in weight, you know, decrease in appetite, abdominal bloating. There's multiple symptoms you can see, but unfortunately, a lot of the other symptoms, besides the bleeding, can oftentimes be advanced symptoms. So
we're talking about colon and rectal cancer, and we've just talked about the symptoms. There are few.
Yes.
That's one of the big problems there.
Right.
But what causes it? Do we know what causes colon cancer?
It's basically just a chemical carcinogenesis. I mean, basically, it's the food that we eat. Even our own bile acids can be an irritant to the GI tract. And just like any other cancer, just chronic irritation of any tissue increases the chance of developing genetic abnormalities that can lead to cancer. That's why, you know, eating things like a low fat diet, particularly low animal fat diet, and a high fiber diet are protective for colon cancer.
Okay. Is colon cancer more common today than it might have been 50 and 100 years ago?
Actually, it's got our incidence, since we've been really tracking it, has actually been decreasing over the last 20 years or so. And we believe that's primarily because we are pushing more preventative. We are actually pushing more education and more screening than we have ever in the past. So we're not only identifying cancers earlier now, so not only incidence is improving, the overall survival has been improving over the last 20 years. And I think it's primarily because we're identifying polyps and removing polyps before they even have the chance to become a colon cancer, because that's where roughly 95% of all colon cancers start. They could start off as a simple colon polyp.
A polyp then isn't cancer itself.
No, but certain types of the polyps are considered precancers. And if you don't remove those as they grow, they increase the risk of that becoming a colon cancer.
I want to try to ask the question in a little different way. We're able to cure it more
Absolutely.
Than we could have 100 or 50 years ago.
Absolutely, yes.
But are we finding these polyps? Are more people getting the polyps and getting cancer than are, you know, or maybe at... I don't know how am I asking this. 100 years ago, are people more likely to die of colon cancer than today?
Yes, absolutely, because we didn't have a way of detecting it, didn't have a way of treating it. So the survival rate is phenomenally better now than it would have been 100 or even 50 years ago.
Okay. And of course, everybody talks about prevention. You talk about diet. So let's be a little more specific. If I'm really worried about that, and my father died from colon cancer.
Yes.
So I'm one of those people that are in a high risk.
Yes.
So are my brothers and sisters. So what should we be eating all the time? Tell me how bad it's going to be.
Again, a lot of fruit, vegetables. I mean, actually, what would be considered a healthy diet? Whole grain breads. You should also, again, minimize the amount of fat that you're consuming, particularly animal fat. Folate, like high green leafy vegetables, have been shown to reduce the risk. Daily aspirin use has been shown to not only decrease the chance of developing colon cancer, but also developing colon polyps. I mean, there's a lot of things that we should do. There are some big things that we shouldn't do.
Put the headphones on. Okay, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. There's things that we shouldn't do, and that is?
Yeah, there are some things that we really shouldn't do, and that is drink alcohol excessively. Particularly in combination with smoking, that significantly increases the risk of developing not only a colon and rectal cancer, but also anal cancer. If you smoke, stop. If you don't smoke, don't start.
There's no surprises in those things, Dr. Mattingly.
Yeah, correct.
I do, and the reason I ask you to put your headphones on is because we got a caller who has a question. Fred, can you ask the question real quick for Dr. Mattingly?
I'll be real quick. Yes, sir. I'm 63 years old, and I've had two colonoscopies over the last 10 years. And my question, sir, is are there any newer methods that are a little more pleasant than the current prep methods that I had to use for my colonoscopy?
Okay, thanks, Fred. Yeah, good question. Is there something else we can do?
Yeah, there's multiple ways of prepping. Everyone just has to find the one that's right for them. None of them are pleasant. The day I come up with a pleasant colonoscopy prep, I'm retiring.
Yeah, there you go. You won't have to work anymore.
And again, when you talk to people who have bad stories about a colonoscopy, they don't have bad stories about the colonoscopy. They have a bad story about the things that they have to drink and the end results that they get as a result.
I was telling you about that before we went on the air. So
absolutely.
Yes, there's always a story.
And there's different alternatives. I mean, there's pills that you can take. There's actually lesser volume. It's usually the volume that people have difficulty with. And the 4 liters of polyethylene glycol solutions, which is what we traditionally use. I mean, I personally use a combination of Gatorade and Miralax, which is very similar but much less volume. There are other preparations that are lower volume. Suprep is one that commonly is used as well. And again, you just have to talk to your physician if you have issues with a particular kind of prep. Just discuss different options. There's about 20 different options that we could use to do a colonoscopy prep.
One of the things that over the years I've talked to many physicians, and they'll all say the same thing: ask your doctor. Yes, talk to him about it. If you've got an issue with it, he'll tell you whether there's something else you can do or nothing else, but at least talk to him about that.
Absolutely.
Is there something, Dr. Mattingly, that I haven't brought up that you think is really important about colon and rectal cancer?
You know, the most important thing is you know, the biggest problem is patients presenting late. Patients presenting early, again, it's very treatable. I just don't want people to sit at home out of fear, you know, or out of being too busy with their life, not getting screened. You know, if you have something that doesn't seem right, you know, for God's sakes, talk to someone about it. Talk to your primary care physician about it. You know, bring up the issue and you know, don't ignore obvious signs and symptoms of colon cancer.
Where there's some smoke, there's often a little fire.
Absolutely.
Dr. Mark Mattingly, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for bringing up. Do you have something you had to
add? Well, I just want to say, as we always say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And if they have questions, we'd encourage them to please call the Genesee Health Plan at 810-232-7740.
There we go. Thanks, Yvonne. Thank you, Dr. Mattingly. And that's today's Healthy Moment brought to you by the Genesee Health Plan. To learn more about the health plan, go to GenesseeHealthPlan.org or call, as Yvonne just said, 844-232-7740 to schedule an appointment. You're listening to The Michael J. Thorpe Show on Super Talk 1570.